The 385th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! Right way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court, Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to hit. Long outside shot. Short, rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champion.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony back with you guys once again today, here to talk about another transfer portal target that Carolina is getting involved with, as Huber Davis and his staff are working tirelessly to find a talent to add to the roster for next season. And this guy comes from a place that Carolina has gone to recently to add to their roster and has worked out well. And this is a guy that a lot of Carolina fans wanted Carolina to get involved when he entered the portal anyway. So we'll talk about who that player is and what he means for a certain guy who's waiting to make a decision on his future at Carolina. There are other portal notes that we're going to update you on and give you a schedule update, as well as Carolina did learn their non-conference opponent for one of their many events that they're in for next season. But we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, pod thought of the day. We go to Mia Hamm, who, if you ever were to do a Mount Rushmore of athletes at Carolina, she would be right up there with some of the greats to come through Chapel Hill. The pod thought of the day is, quote, people are looking for the extraordinary. People are looking to see what sets you apart. And there's not, that's a lot of what the transfer portal is you're looking to see what sets you apart from guys that are on your current roster and guys that are in the transfer portal at the moment. And look, there's what, over 1,300 players in the portal. And so it's a tireless job, because there's a lot that you got to go through, a lot of information, a lot of communication that you have to partake in. And it's why I think what Carolina has done a really good job of historically in the portal era is casting a wide net, getting involved with a multitude of transfer targets, and then kind of narrowing their list down as the portal process moves along and finds the guys that they want that fit them from a systems perspective and from a culture perspective. And I think this quote, as much as anything, kind of does apply to what the transfer portal is and kind of how players are getting noticed by big-time programs like Carolina, mid-major programs, or even just the small programs at the lower levels of the sport.
Yes, they are casting a wide net, but they're not casting nearly as wide of a net as some of these other programs. They're strategic about who they contact. They do the research to figure out who really fits what they want to do moving forward. And so I think that's what's allowed them to have the type of success that they have. And look, it's not always going to be hits. There are going to be guys that Carolina tries to make fit. For example, Paxson Wojcik. I think with him, more than anything, they've looked at him. The fact that his dad was a coach at Carolina. That was a big part of the reason why they brought him in. But there have been very few swings and misses, especially for Hubert Davis and this staff. I think they've done a tremendous job. And again, we talk about it just about every time we talk about the transfer portal. You have had some of the most successful pieces of your team come from transfers in the last 5 or 6 years. So for Carolina, they've done a great job of finding the guys that fit exactly what they need. And I think for the most part, especially after this past group that Carolina brought in, headlined by Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan, Carolina has hit more than they have missed in the transfer portal. And it's why there still are people that are always concerned about Carolina going and getting guys from the transfer portal, mainly because they're stuck in the past and they think that's not the way that you should build a team. It should be built through the high school ranks. Guys, look at the teams that are succeeding the most in college basketball. It is because they have transfers that play big roles on their roster. And I think Carolina, here, especially in the last couple of years, is doing a great job in the portal.
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at them, you look at Kansas, you're talking about two of the premier programs in the sport adapting and putting themselves in a roster position every year to rebuild, reload through the portal. It's something that Duke hasn't been able to do because of the way they're recruiting out of the high school ranks, and they're kind of having to push guys out of their program because they've identified, look, man, we got to get some older talent in here.
And even still, they're going to bring in probably one guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Kentucky's in a different spot because they're going through a coaching change, but Calipari was bringing in highly recruited freshmen, but we saw this past year, wasn't afraid to add experienced talent around it. So, this is just the way that the sport is operating right now, and it's not changing anytime soon. This is going to be the best way to rebuild your roster every single year. It's still important to make sure you're getting guys out of high school that commit to your program. But for a program like Carolina that the expectation is ACC championship in Final Four appearances, this is the best way to put yourself in a position to achieve all the things you want to do in the regular season and in the postseason. And, after year three, I think the early return is, you know, Carolina has a coach that's well-equipped to handle all the challenges that the portal throws at you, and this staff has done a really good job identifying the right pieces, the right players that fit Carolina on the basketball court and off the basketball court. We'll now get into the latest transfer that Carolina is getting involved with, and this is one that, you know, Heels fans wanted Carolina to get involved with once he entered the portal. That is Andre Stojakovic, the son of Peja Stojakovic, the sharpshooter who, in my lifetime was one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA. Made All-Star games, played on some really fun teams, and was just a really fun player to watch.
One of my favorite guys when I was younger, and you'd play on your own hoop to play as. When you would be commentating games, great name, great outside shooter, loved it.
Yeah, his son was playing or played for Stanford last year. You know, Gerard Haas gets fired, they bring in their new coach, but Stojakovic is looking to move on. Of course, Carolina is still awaiting the decision of Harrison Ingram, who transferred to Carolina from Stanford a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Inside Carolina, in the way that this recruitment has gone, or just the early check-in, Harrison Ingram has been in contact with Stojakovic as well and has talked about his experience at Carolina after transferring in from Stanford because he lived it. And that makes plenty of sense. Stojakovic is a former McDonald's All-American that didn't have the greatest freshman season in Palo Alto. 7.8 points per game, 41% shooting from the field, just 33% shooting from behind the three-point line. Not the same player not the same athlete in a lot of different ways that Harrison Ingram is. But guess what we said about Harrison Ingram when Carolina got involved with him last year and it became apparent he was one of the prizes for them on the recruiting trail? If you surround him with better talent, you're going to see a better basketball player. And I think that's something that, you know, directly applies to Stojakovic, because there's no denying that Stanford program just deprived of talent. And well, he was just really in a tough situation as a true freshman to go into what's been a perennial losing program and make an, you know, and make a big impact. The shooting numbers aren't going to stand out to you. They're not Kay Tyson shooting numbers, but the fact that he's a former McDonald's All-American tells you that the talent is there, the ability and the skill is there. You know, he comes from, you know, he has basketball pedigree in his family. He's 6'7". He would bring size and length to the perimeter. And I think it makes a lot of sense as to why Carolina is getting involved with Andre Stojakovic.
Yeah, it's really the upside that they're looking at here, because he was a guy that came in out of high school and was seen as a guy that was exactly like his dad, but shot less than 33% from the field. Struggled inside the arc as well, shooting just 39%. And the biggest concern for him is what he does on the defensive end of the floor. That's where, if you're replacing Harrison Ingram with him, then you probably have to find somebody else on your team that can defend at a high level on the wing, because he's not a great defender. Now, looking at what Adam Finkelstein said from 24/7 Sports when he broke him down, he says that he's a guy that really, you know, his frame was just not mature. He had to adjust to the physicality of the college level, and that this is still a guy that has a ton of upside, and that's the reason why people will be interested in him. I think it makes sense that Carolina is interested in him, but I do think that if Carolina is to bring him in, I know he's a former five-star guy, or at least a McDonald's All-American, maybe not a five-star, but still, I think this is a guy that if you bring him in, Tar Heel fans need to temper their expectations just a little bit about what they expect him to be. If you think this is a guy that's going to come in and average 15 a game right away, then there's a chance you might be disappointed. Look, he could take a huge leap. I think that's certainly possible as well. But I think there is an unknown element to him. And I think, look, man, you know, with the way that Carolina's got this roster built, especially if they feel like Drake Powell is a guy that can come in and make an immediate impact, then maybe you're not that concerned about bringing in a guy like this, because, hey, if he struggles, well, we got Powell that can split minutes with him and then eventually take the bulk of those minutes if he starts to show us that he's capable of playing at this level. So that might be how Carolina's looking at it.
Well, I mean, I think what you're wanting to do, and the numbers don't reflect it, Hubert Davis needs to add shooting to this roster.
Yeah.
And perimeter shooting at that. It's why they're making the effort that they're making with Cade Tyson, the Belmont transfer, who'll be on campus later this week. We know Ian Jackson can put the ball in the bucket, but he'll go through that same sort of adjustment period that most freshmen go through after dominating at the high school ranks when adjusting to college basketball. I kind of reiterate what I said when kind of just talking about him. This is a guy that Hubert Davis is probably looking at and saying, man, I put him in my system with the way that we run our stuff, which got very NBA-esque this year. I'm going to get him better looks. I'm going to get him more quality looks. And those shooting numbers are going to increase. And look, there's a very good chance that if he were to commit to Carolina, he's coming off the bench and is playing that type of role where he's coming off the bench and his job is going to be to stretch the floor to provide more shooting. Whereas at Stanford, like, when you're arriving as a McDonald's All-American, the son of, you know, a former NBA All-Star, there was a lot more pressure on him to perform at the highest level. He is probably the second best player on that team last year. If he ends up in Chapel Hill, depending on what RJ does, what Harrison does, what Carolina adds to the portal. You're talking about from a talent perspective, he might be your fifth or sixth most talented guy because you're bringing in two McDonald's All-Americans.
Right.
And, you know, in Ian Jackson and Drake Powell. And, you know, there are some kids that from the moment that they put a basketball in their hands, they're ready to be the guy. And there's some guys that even after being the guy in high school, they're not ready to be the guy in college. And they need to be in a situation where he's surrounded by talent to get the most out of him. And the body also, like, you give him an offseason in Carolina's program. And, you know, it wouldn't even be a full offseason at that. But I think you would see the body get more ready to play the rigors of what Carolina's schedule is, which was 20 ACC games. The same Stanford would play in 2024, 2025 on top of, you know, a non-conference schedule that's as difficult as any power conference team in the country plays annually. So, look, you know, Carolina fans, from the moment he entered the portal, you know, if you, you know, commenting on our articles or just seeing them on Twitter, they wanted to see Carolina get involved with him. They've gotten involved with him. I think it makes a lot of difference. I think it makes a lot of sense on a lot of different fronts. The first thing, though, that, you know, when you see this news and you hear the reports, is naturally you think, what does this mean about Harrison Ingram? Because we're sitting here on April 18th. We still know nothing about the wing for Carolina. We still know nothing about RJ Davis. You know,
Look, there's some rumors on some of the message boards, but even those, it doesn't seem like there's anything super concrete with either one of them.
So. Yeah, and look, I think for RJ, I'll reiterate it. I think for him, it's truly going to be a 50-50 decision. You know, he just signed another NIL deal today with, I think, Degree. So I think if you follow that type of stuff, I think there's a very good chance RJ comes back to Carolina.
Which, if you're a betting man, some would say.
Yes. You know, which I have always thought that because, you know, the draft stock just wasn't there despite him having the season that he had. And I thought the way that he went out in the loss to Alabama wasn't going to be the way that he wanted to go out. For Harrison Ingram, yeah, I think it's becoming more and more likely he's going pro because this draft is maybe the worst we've ever seen.
Yes.
And, you know, as people continue to do their scouting and do their evaluations, he's flying up NBA mock drafts. And this is going to be a guy that's going to work his way as a potential maybe back end of the first round type of talent, maybe early second round. If he starts populating on multiple draft mocks and he's in the first round, it's hard to see him coming back.
I've seen more and more people that are projecting that way. And I got to be honest, if he chooses not to leave when he is at the end of the first round, I may drive to Chapel Hill and slap him in the back of the head.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do that because, like, we'd have a chance to win a national championship.
I get it, but ultimately the thing is like, if you're doing what's best for him moving forward. I mean, dude, there is zero chance that you will be taken in the first round next year. Like, you would have to put together an amazing season because this, as you said, this is as bad of a draft as we've ever seen.
Yeah, but
dude, Reed Sheppard is going to probably go top five in this draft.
I mean, I also think with his body and his skill talent, if he comes back and replicates what he did as a defender, where he was such a good individual and team defender, replicates the rebounding prowess, but takes that step forward as an offensive player, where he'd be the second option for Carolina next year. You know, as it were, this year he was the third behind Armando Bacot. I think there's a situation where he could be a back end of the first round draft pick next year.
Okay, but that's a risk that you're taking just to get back to where you're at. Here's the ultimate thing. For him to return, do you think that he can become a lottery pick? I don't think so.
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. Cam Johnson was a lottery pick.
But the one thing about Cam Johnson was Cam Johnson did the one thing that you need to be able to do in modern basketball. And look, man, Harrison Ingram's not a bad three-point shooter. Cam Johnson was an elite three-point shooter.
No, but the other thing that the NBA covets are two-way players and 3-and-D guys. If he takes that step forward, And he's a part of a team that, you know, wins a national championship and he plays big, you know, in the tournament. Like, we see that how that every year impacts the draft. I wouldn't rule it out of the possibility. I think the biggest reason if he came back is because even though he didn't commit to Carolina right away, we saw how much it meant to him being a Tar Heel. And, like, he would never publicly say, man, I regretted choosing Stanford over Carolina. But you could tell this was a guy that felt at home. And as much as they achieved stuff in the regular season, you know, I think for him, one NCAA tournament maybe was not enough. And he got a taste of it, didn't get the finish that you wanted. And so it's not as 50-50, I think, as it is for RJ. But I do think this is a guy that, kind of like RJ, kind of like Armando, loves being at Carolina, doesn't have to go anywhere. And if he, you know, can make similar NIL money that he would make being a back end of the first round NBA draft pick or even a draft pick in the second round, there's a reason to go back to school for one more year.
I mean, dude, it's going to be really hard for him to make the type of money at the back end of the first round. I mean, that's asking a lot. So, I mean... I don't know. To me, he's a player where he's going to – I would be absolutely stunned if he came out and his decision was that he is staying, no questions asked. I think he's a guy that he will enter without an agent, and if he gets a first-round grade, he's gone. I think it's going to be really hard for me to see him not leaving. Because I think, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Carolina is a special place for him. But I think his ultimate goal is probably to get to the NBA. Because I think that he looks at his game and he thinks, you know, he probably heard the talks early in the year that we had about him being a guy that fits the mold of what the NBA is looking for, that some people compared to, you know, a less aggressive Draymond Green, a less donkey kicking in the man region style of Draymond Green. Probably a better shooter in the end than Draymond Green as well. So I think there's a really good chance that he ends up leaving. But I will say this. When it comes to Stojakovic, I don't know if that really shows you that that's the direction that they're heading. Yes, I know Stojakovic is 6'7". Some list him at 6'6". He's also a guy that, I said it earlier, he was known for the way that he shoots the basketball, especially from the outside, coming out of high school. I think more than likely they view him as a wing player that will probably play the three spot more than the four, which is where Ingram's playing. So that's kind of where I lean when it comes to that. I don't know how much that really shows. And to be honest with you, the fact that he's talked to him, you almost wonder if maybe that would be something that would make him interested in potentially sticking around. I mean, I don't know how good of a relationship they have since Stojakovic just came in this year, but you'd imagine that Stojakovic was probably on campus a lot the year before, and maybe they did develop some sort of relationship.
Yeah,
so. And
look, I also think it's important to note here, I don't think Stojakovic stands in the way of the decision of Cade Tyson. Like, I feel like Stojakovic.
Oh God, no.
Like, this would be a plus one situation where Carolina is just adding as much perimeter shooting talent to their roster as they possibly can. And look, guys, it's needed. It's why I said all during this past season, even when I thought Carolina was at their best. Like, you go back to mid-January where they were playing as good a basketball as anybody in the country. I thought the lack of multiple perimeter shooters would hinder them from reaching, could hinder them from reaching a Final Four, let alone winning a national championship. And I wasn't wrong. You know, you go back to the loss to Bama, you know, where RJ goes 0 of 9 from 3. Yes, you got production from, you know, Ryan and Ingram, but, you know, the outside shots that Elliot Cadeau and Seth Trimble made in the first half were fool's gold because they weren't there to be found in the second half. Carolina did not have that other guy to go to make perimeter shots. I think Hubert Davis and this staff are doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen again, because you know as much as playing inside out is a part of what Carolina does, man, you got to shoot the ball well from the outside to advance in the NCAA tournament. There aren't many teams like UConn that can shoot below 35% for a tournament from behind the 3-point line and win a national championship. It's really hard to do. It's become such a part of the way the game's being played at the pro level, the college level, and even now the high school level. So, again, I think this is Carolina doing their due diligence, doing what needs to be done, because if you can add a guy that, you know, has the shooting pedigree, the background that he has, then you go get him. And you put him in a situation where he's going to be supported, he's going to be more comfortable, there's not going to be this pressure to deliver, and he can just play within himself. I think you could see a guy that could come in and be a really big part of what Carolina does, whether he comes off the bench or not. So,
By the way, no way he stands in front of them getting Cade Tyson. He shot 13.5% less from three. That's how good Cade Tyson shoots it. So, no way that stands in the way. And you could probably play both if you can find a way to bring both in.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, like guys, if you saw it this year, man, Carolina's playing modern basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play four around one. They're going to space the floor.
And depending which big they get, there's sometimes they'll be able to play five out.
And so, look, the sets this year were as good as we've seen under Hubert Davis. You saw some NBA type of stuff with the way that they, you know, were using, you know, their motions and their screens to free up their shooters. So, it took to year three for Carolina to really play offense the way that Hubert Davis wants to, but we saw it, and I think for the most part, we liked the results because it delivered an ACC regular season title, a sweep of Duke, and an appearance in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. So that's our look, that's our breakdown at Andre Stojakovic, the latest guy that Carolina has gotten involved with in the transfer portal. We come back, a few other just notes that we will glance over really quickly. We also got a schedule update for you as well. But first, we got to play you a message from one of our partners. Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description. Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, hanging out with you guys on a Thursday, talking transfer portal as Carolina continues to talk to players left and right as they look to rebuild, reload that roster for the 2024-2025 season. The Heels may have missed out on Kentucky transfer Aaron Bradshaw, but that's not stopping them from getting involved with another one. According to Inside Carolina, UNC has had talks with Kentucky transfer Adu Thierro, a guy that has a lot to offer. A guy that I've seen a lot of Carolina fans when he got into the portal say they need to go get involved with him. So not a surprise that Carolina is getting involved with them. I don't know how much of a chance there is for him to go to Arkansas and play for John Calipari. I know Jerry Jones said that he would offer any former or current Kentucky player double the NIL money they got at Kentucky to go play at Arkansas. That's going to play a role in someone's decision where they play their college basketball next season. Maybe depending on how these talks intensify, we get back on here and kind of dedicate a full 20-minute episode or something like that to him. Just real quick, your thoughts on Carolina getting involved with the Theriault.
Well, I will tell you this. This is the guy that if you're looking for a hint on Harrison Ingram's future, if things start to turn up with him, then you probably start to think, okay, Harrison Ingram is leaving. Because this is basically the Harrison Ingram clone. A little bit of a better defender, one of the best in the SEC last year. The thing was his minutes, that he just didn't play a ton. But everything that I read about him, I mean, there are people that said he had to seriously consider going to the NBA draft because he's an athletic freak. He rebounds at an incredibly high level. The shot is there. It's just shots were not falling this season. This dude is, I think, the perfect fit to take over for Harrison Ingram if Harrison Ingram ends up leaving. So that's the thing I'm monitoring. If Carolina starts to get more involved and you start to see more chatter around him, then that's when I think you should probably start to feel like Harrison Ingram is all but gone for Carolina.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And with that, I hope these talks, honestly, I hope they kind of fizzle and fade out because I want Harrison Ingram back in Chapel Hill. Another one, you know, there's been a lot of just different stuff around Danny Wolf and when he's been on campus, when he hasn't been on campus, if he's been on campus at all. Jamie Shaw of On3 Sports says that he's expected to be on campus this weekend, along with Belmont transfer Cade Tyson. I think Cade Tyson is the first transfer target that Carolina has been involved with that I do think could be the guy that could be the first to commit to Carolina. And that very well, I think, could happen this weekend. I think when we talked on Tuesday, we said that Danny Wolf was on campus. Don't know how accurate that was, but Jamie Shaw, a guy that's very much that's very much plugged into the stuff, says that he'll be on campus this weekend. And then the last thing that we'll go over, just some scheduling for the 2024-2025 non-conference schedule. Not a surprise because we know it's a rotation of teams that Carolina would be going to up against, but Carolina will play Florida in the Jumpman Invitational in Spectrum Center in December of 2024. Of course, Carolina 2-0 in that event with wins over Michigan and Oklahoma. They'll look to improve to 3-0 with a win over the Gators in December. Well, that is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Before we let you go, we encourage you guys to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com, where just a lot of transfer portal stuff is up there on the site. You can go and read about Stojakovic and what, you know, he could bring to Carolina and what his recruitment potentially means for Harrison Ingram. You know, Carolina missed on some other guys in the portal, but they're prioritizing other big men, namely Jonas Adu, the big man from Tennessee. Any portal news on the basketball front, we've got you covered. Same with football. After seeing multiple guys enter the portal, Anthony broke down those decisions. Carolina's getting busy hosting transfer portal recruits as well. So just simply, guys, for the latest and the best transfer portal coverage, we want you to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the basketball offseason. And kind of like during the regular season where we went game by game with previews and recaps, virtually every guy that Carolina's been involved with the portal, we've dedicated an episode to. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss any of the conversation this basketball offseason. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Andy for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.